Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, around the world in Blog Talk Radio. Good. Oh, my goodness. It's good to have you with us tonight. It is good to have you with us tonight. And thank God for technology, even if you don't like it. Even if you don't like how it feels like it runs your whole life. Even if you don't like it, how it feels like you can't live without it. I say, thank God for technology. And in about another 1 minute, it'll be working effectively.
I still like the old payphones.
That's, I saw a really good meme the other day that said, there's a reason that Superman hasn't showed up. And it's because we took out all of the phone booths and he doesn't have anywhere to change.
There's one thing in a couple of series where he changed in an alley.
Well, here's what we got to do. It's just all of us be Superman and don't even take the suit off. Just do it. Welcome to you on YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. We are in the middle of a pretty amazing study of the Word of God about sin and righteousness. Of course, sin has been here since Adam, and righteousness has been here since before the foundation of the earth. Thank God for who he is in our life. We've spent a few minutes getting to gather with the family and talking with one another and having a good time there. We solve, usually, all the problems of the world during that period of time when we first get started here. So if you like to hear the solution to the world's problems, join us on Zoom early. And we'll do our best to get the problem solved. This is what we know. We know the greatest problem solver there is, and his name is Jesus. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and thank God for all of his grace, mercy, and love that's in our lives every single day. Now, everybody, put your faith with me right now that my voice gets stronger and stronger the farther we get into this. You'll see me from time to time. Might put a lozenge in my mouth. Might look like I got a little pouch on my cheek, but I'm not chewing tobacco. I'm just keeping my throat lubricated. We're going to make it to the end tonight and enjoy this study. Understanding the Word of God for what it really says. So, just like we do all the time, I want us to start with our opening prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. If there's ever been a time that we need to stand for the United States of America boldly as sons and daughters of this great nation, it is now. We have never in our lives seen such a situation as we have right now president announced today, and he's going to begin drawing from the oil reserve, a couple million more barrels a day or whatever. And you and I as patriots have got to stand boldly and confidently in who we are as we the people, knowing that we can deal with the issues in this nation by our prayers. Because according to the word of God, righteousness exalts this nation and every nation. So no matter where you are around the world, no matter how the news of the political world affects your nation, righteousness exalts every nation. So everything in everything you do, make sure you're speaking boldly that righteousness exalts this nation. Here we go, if you will. Rise together with me. We'll make our pledge of allegiance and then get into our prayers for this evening. Render your honor and let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime, because of combat, bear the scars in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now I'm going to save my voice this evening. We would normally sing God Bless America, but let's begin with our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today in Jesus' mighty name. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word. God sees our determination to change our world. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed. I am sowing now to bless others. I give, and I know that what I give right now will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. Father, I pray right now tonight for every church in the United States of America and around the world that will be having church tonight. Great Commission says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the earth. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare it again right now. Your blessing on every pastor who is preaching right now. We declare blessing on every worship team that is worshiping right now. We declare blessing on every children's church worker flowing in their ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless them now. We bless them now. We bless them now. May their words be words of life and blessing and help and freedom and vision to every child that there is, in Jesus' mighty name. Say this with me. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations: United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and all the nations of the world. We bless Kazakhstan, United Arab Emirates, Uganda in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Huh. Oh, I want this one. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life forevermore. And now, we declare, we gather all of our faith together tonight. For every pastor around the world, don't turn your mic on and say it, but you say it at home. Name the pastors that you know. We bless them right now, Jesus, to be bold and strong, and that there be unity in the body of Christ across this nation and around the world. We bless every pastor that has a prayer ministry going, wherever they be. May they see the international network of prayer and faith. Bless every believer, no matter where they may be, to see the unity in the body of Christ is the most important thing we can get to. And now, declare God's holy word with me. I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. All believers are one and the same in God our Father, no matter where you are around the world. I bless you today. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus the Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. You say it about yourself, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, may every believer in the United States and around the world read this verse this week and grab a hold of it, that you want them to be filled with all the fullness of God, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their religious wicked plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now here's your declaration. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others today. Now, we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the patriot prayer of dedication: if I have ever been motivated, inspired, freaked to movement, it's today. We're in the end. People don't know. They need to know. They need to know. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today, we declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, our final set of prayers. Our declaration against the isms. There has ever been a time that you have stood with us in faith. Stand with us now. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. To all of the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think that we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom and liberty and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' mighty name, rise up and destroy each other. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. And we thank you, Jesus, for it in your mighty, holy, wonderful name. Now, thank you for praying with us every time we come together. Sunday Geyser, welcome. Juliana, welcome. It's so good to have you with Juliana. See your smiling face every time you be here. Sister Sunday, thank you for all of your faith that stood with us all these years. Brother Dan, Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca, all of our friends, every one of you around the world, on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. I may not be able to see your name, but I bless you, and I thank you for being here with us. Right before we went live on the program tonight, whoops, I got a notification that the president was going to be opening up the oil reserves again. And, you know, there's just some things that are so stupid. You don't even have to wonder about it. And you just realize that there's a group of people in this nation. I'm not saying any names. I don't have to. That are bent on destroying this nation. They're bent on it. And according to the word of God, you and I got to stand faithful all the way to the end in Jesus' mighty name. I like to get started in my teaching long before 5 minutes to 9 Eastern Standard Time. However, here we are. I'm not going to say any of the rest of those words. Not going to give life to it. Thank you for being here, being with us. So, tonight, I'm going to be, I'm going to have a throat lozenge in my mouth most of the night. So I might sound like I'm talking a little different, but it's adding lubrication to my vocal cords. So thank you, Jesus, for that. If you notice it, I don't have a bite of tobacco in my jaw. Never did that. Never will. For all of you that do, no, I'm not going to tell that either. Don't need to do that. So anyways, we've been studying all week long the words righteousness and sin. Ever since you guys met me, you have heard me say there's no reason, and a preacher should never tell you. Just trust me. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to study what God is saying. Just believe what I say. No preacher should ever do that. Every preacher should motivate you to open up your Bible and study it yourself. And I've told you and shown you now for 2 years, I feel like the Apostle Paul, for the space of 2 years, I have been ministering to you and saying, learn to use your Bible app and the TV screen. How cool is that? I'll bet my head's really huge. God bless you, angel. I've been teaching you to use your Bible app and to get into it and study specific words all the way through the New Testament. And so about 2 weeks ago, somebody sent me a question about righteousness and sin. And maybe it was a week ago. I don't know. Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. And they said, what is the effect of sin on our Christian life? Last Saturday night, 4 days ago, I had our question and answer session. We dug in there and studied it a little bit, but I could just tell, bottom line is, we need to really go ahead and do a very specific study on this and just read what the Bible says about sin and righteousness. Because, guys, when you get to heaven and you stand at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, you're going to be judged by this book. You're not going to be judged by, I'll use my leader, Dr. Mark P. Barclay. You won't be judged by Barclay. You won't be judged by Brother Jesse the Planist. He's one of my heroes. You're not going to be judged by Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Frederick K.C. Price. You're not going to be judged by the Apostle Paul, or Peter, James, or John. You're going to be judged by Jesus or the Father. And it's going to be according to this book. If you don't know what this book says on that day of judgment, you're going to come up short. And it won't matter how much you believed something different from what it actually says. You will be judged by what it actually says. And why are you saying this, Pastor? Hey, thank you, Rebecca. What about Billy Graham or Franklin? Yeah, you won't be judged by them either. Amen. Or Charles Stanley. Or any of those great leaders at all. You will not be judged by them. And so the Holy Spirit just led me to say, you know what? That's it. We're just going to do it. We're just going to spend the time, however many days it takes us, and we're going to just read every verse in the New Testament that has the word sin. There will be no confusion with you, because it's not me telling you what I believe. It's this book. Now, I want to start tonight real quick, because there's a lot of people that don't believe as Christians that they're going to be judged when they get to heaven, that as long as they got born again, that's all that mattered. Well, let's just go ahead and read the verses that tell you there will be a day of judgment when you will stand before Jesus, if you're born again, or God the Father, if you're not born again. And so, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Somebody shout, I love the word. Sorry, I'm just tuning up the Zoomers so they get that mic on, off, on, off, on, off.
I love the majestic word of God.
Amen, brother. Now, here's our confession that we make over the word every time we come here. Hold your Bible up. Let's make it together. Say it right out loud with me. We're not going to pause. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says, am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am, the Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Somebody make sure you run a good verse list tonight, because I can tell right now, getting started, the Holy Spirit is going to take us on a journey tonight. But that's okay. We love to study God's holy word with our whole heart and soul. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're just going to read it, 5 through 17. Now, we read this the other night. I'm just going to read it, make the point, and keep moving. Who then is Apollos? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Paul's saying, somebody planted a seed, somebody else is watering that seed, somebody's doing a little bit of pruning. God is the one that is going to make sure the increase comes. Keep reading. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Say it. I'm a field and I'm a building. All right? You are. You have soil you plant the word of God into. You produce a harvest. You are a building that is being built up to honor and glorify God. According to the great, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. The only foundation that can be laid is this book. And in the day you and I live, the majority of us believers have a foundation that was laid by preaching. And that preaching didn't match this book. Keep reading. 12, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day. Notice in your Bible, it's important to get your Bible out so you can see this. For the day will declare it. That word day is capitalized. That is the great judgment seat of Christ. When you and I will stand before Jesus, have our works tried by fire. It's a judgment seat. If you're standing before Jesus, you should make it into heaven. But it is a judgment seat. And it is judging your works. Now watch. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles this temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. Say it with me. The temple of God is holy. And I am his temple. Now, I'm just going to refer to him. I don't even have the address. If you want to find the address and put it in the comments, that's wonderful. Thank you. Jesus said that you and I will be judged. Every idle word will be judged on that day. Give an account of them. Now, I know there's a bunch of people that's like, Pastor, I wouldn't be able to say anything. Well, then get your language cleaned up. It's possible. God is not a mean judge saying, you said one wrong word, I'm cursing you forever. That's not God. God says, what about that word you just said? Oh, I ain't going to say that. And then the next time you say it, he's like, hey, why are you saying that word? And what's he doing? He's giving you the opportunity to grow and develop in him and come to a new level of understanding. Why? Because Jesus said, why take ye a thought saying? Why take you a thought saying? That's how a thought gets down inside of your heart. The thought comes to you by a fiery dart. And as soon as you say it, you give it life. Think about this. I am so depressed. The enemy doesn't shoot a fiery dart saying, depression, depression, depression. The enemy shoots a fiery dart that says, I am so depressed. And as soon as you make that declaration, depression comes upon you. Why? You just said, I am depressed. Thank you, angel. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I'm actually going to turn there. Thank you. I so appreciate that. Matthew 12, 36. It's just always good to have all you Bible scholars along with us, helping us out. Hey, oh, that's just a good part, too. Here we go. Let go. Let's go to Matthew 12, 30 through 37. Here we go. He who is not with me is against me. Thank you, angel. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Well, what's Jesus teaching us? These words of our mouth from our innermost being is what's proving you're a good tree or a bad one. Keep going. 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You won't. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his good heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. I say to you, every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, not this word, your words, You will be judged by this word, but it will be your words that came out of your mouth. You will either be justified or you will be condemned. Pastor, you're making this too difficult to do. I didn't make nothing. I'm just showing you what's in the Bible and telling you his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Make that decision on the inside that says, I'm walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. No matter what you show me, Holy Spirit, I am doing that so that I will stand before you on that day. And you will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, the next page is the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is about you and I taking this word, putting it in our heart, getting rid of the rocks. You got to get rid of the rocks. Getting rid of the thorns. You got to get rid of the thorns. Getting rid of the wayside, digging it up, chilling it up. You got to do that. Jesus expects you to do that. And then he said, when that seed of God's word is planted in your heart, just like all of you are finding here, because we just keep working the soil, working the soil, working the soil. This word produces a hundredfold return in your life. And Jesus said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries. So do the work. Matthew chapter 13, verse 6 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, your inner ear, for they hear. Now, we're talking about the judgment day. Now, I did not come here tonight to talk about the judgment day, but here we are. But it's okay. Obviously, there's going to be people that listen to this video that say, Pastor, I didn't know that when I get to heaven, I'm actually going to be judged for my actions on earth. Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that when I got born again, that took all the judgment away from me. Nope. I can't judge those men whether or not they led you deceitfully because they knew the truth and led you deceitfully, or if it was just erroneous doctrine that they taught. But there's going to be a serious amount of judgment going on the other side. Now, remember this. I'm not going to turn there because that'll go way off. But Dr. Sutton taught us from the book of Revelation that there will come a day when every human who has ever lived will be in heaven for the judgment. There will be no humans left on this earth. And he will burn it with fire. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And after the judgment, that's where you and I will be. That's where we'll be living. Every single one of us are going to stand before Jesus if we're believers, or before God the Father if we're not. And if you don't make the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to hell. You will not, when you stand in that judgment line, the billions of people on this earth, you will not. If you're in the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment of God the Father, you don't go to heaven. You go to eternal damnation. Now, I know some of you think, man, you're just preaching hellfire and brimstone. No, I'm not. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Think about this fact. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be therefore holy or perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He would not have said that to you if it was impossible for you to do. Matthew 5:48. Why would he tell us to be perfect unless it's possible? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And what makes it possible is God sent Jesus to pay the price with his blood and then give us his righteousness to live in. And he comes and makes his abode inside. And he's leading us from the inside out. Now all of a sudden we're looking at it saying, well, if God is living on the inside of me, then I can make it. I can make it. I want to show you this. Watch this. Matthew 18. I'm going to show you some judgment from our Father that you and I got to make sure we win. Matthew 18:6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, do not do that. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. See, there's judgment right there. That one's talking mostly to preachers, prophets, apostles, the fivefold ministry. That's judgment. That's talking to all of us. Got to live our life so that anybody that's watching can walk and make it. Verse 7. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses will come. Woe to them, to the man or woman by whom the offenses come. This is where Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. He's not talking about dismemberment. He's talking about getting serious about what it is that's taking you, that's defiling your righteous robes. Look at this. The parable of the lost sheep. You can put these verses together, Angel. Matthew 18:10 and 14. Matthew 18:10 and verse 14. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. See, there's a judgment there. There's a judgment there. But that's a judgment that is ongoing every day, right now. You might say, Pastor, I just give up. I can never do this. No, the reason you say that is you're trying to do it in your own righteousness. This is what this whole series is about. You got to see this. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Or when you do, you will not sin. I know there's a bunch of people saying, well, Pastor, I got born again. You prayed the prayer. I prayed it with you. I know. But that's the first step. Now you've got to realize that your righteous effort to be holy will never be good enough. People are like, jeez, I didn't listen to this preacher anymore. Wait. In your own strength. But when you receive Jesus' blood and it washes you and it throws your sin in the sea of forgetfulness, then he gives you his righteousness. And literally, the Bible says he makes you into his righteousness. That is 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. type with that angel when you put that in there. He makes me into his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. He makes me into his righteousness. Now, when you begin to see this, all of a sudden, you begin to get hope because God put himself inside of you to lead you from the inside out, not from the top side down. If he can finally get it through your thick skull, like somebody did, and they banged you on the head as a kid and said, I don't know that you're ever going to get this through your thick skull. It's not about your thick skull. God went past the skull and put himself on the inside of you. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Isn't that something? Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. I'm not going to read them all because I'm way behind what I'm supposed to be getting done. Well, let me say it differently. I'm following right in the footprints of where I'm supposed to be tonight because Holy Spirit's got in charge of this one. I got 100 verses over here to read, but this is where we are. So Holy Spirit, speak through me tonight and reach these people. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:11 is talking about us becoming holy. Let's go down to verse 10. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Zero. They're lawless. You're righteous. This is an alarming factor that some people don't get. There are Christians who are non-believers. Okay, wait a minute. There's so-called Christians who are non-believers, and they live in lawlessness every day. Pastor, well, if it is sin, it is sin. I don't care what teacher, with however many degrees he gave you as his authority, tells you it's not. The Holy Spirit wrote verse 14 through Paul. Paul's a scribe. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Have you never been in a church where there's a person in that church? There is something about them. They're not light. They're dark. And yet they're claiming to be a Christian. Well, Pastor, are they or aren't they? Well, I couldn't tell you. But when darkness is coming out of you, how great is the darkness on the inside? When you get to church, you're not supposed to find darkness. You're supposed to find light. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Their life says otherwise. That's right. Amen. You can't tell a difference between them and the world. You just can't. Why? Because that's the way they live. But somebody told them that the only thing they had to do was get born again. And that's just not true. That is the first step. Get born again. Why? Now God comes to live on the inside of you and will lead you from the inside out to walk in the paths of righteousness for your namesake. Are you kidding me? Look at a new person looking at what I'm teaching right now tonight. You'd be so discouraged. You'd be like, how in the world will I ever know all this? Don't be discouraged. All of this as law and order, you're not going to be held to until you grow in God. Now follow me. God, I'm getting ready to show it to you right now. God is going to come and live in you. and lead you into the paths of righteousness. His pace, his way that matches you, not me. I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach, I'm going to lead. But he is going to lead you from the inside out. He's going to live inside of you and help you walk in the paths of righteousness. Watch this. 15. What accord does Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Well, he didn't say mock him, make fun of him, don't have anything to do with him. He didn't say go hide in a corner all by yourself. But he said, learn to look and say, that person is not a believer. They might claim to be a Christian, but they don't believe in God or believe in faith or believe in righteousness or believe in the blood. So are they actually a believer? Amen. We have to sacrifice things daily to walk in his righteousness. But watch this. Verse 16. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. Where? In them. And they shall be my people. Where? In and among us. You look right here tonight, Sister Angels in Mississippi. Sunday is in Michigan in the thumb. Brother Dan's in Georgia. Roger's down by Detroit. Rebecca's over in Lansing. Sister Juliana, we're not sure where you live, but it don't matter. Glad to have you with us. Julian and Bamala are in Malaysia. We love you, Julian and Bamala. Mary Fernandez is in Singapore. Brother Tanbir is in Pakistan. And all of our believer friends on Blog Talk Radio, 50 nations of the world. He said, I will be in them and dwell amongst them. God is dwelling in you and walking amongst us. That's why this program is so powerful. I got notes tonight. Got a bunch of them. I got a bunch of verses to read. As soon as we get started, Holy Spirit takes the reins and we say, lead us where you want us to be tonight so that every person that comes here will be able to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You might say, Pastor, you've already said enough tonight to confuse me. I don't know how I can even walk with God. Listen, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. That is your righteousness. Doing the do's and not doing the don'ts is not what makes you righteous. Receiving Jesus' righteousness is what makes you righteous. I don't have a list of do's and don'ts. I'm not going to tell you what music to listen to. I'm not going to tell you what movie to watch. I'm not going to tell you where you should go or where you shouldn't. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to teach you. Walk with God every day. Hear his voice. And he is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now watch this. How in the world during the pandemic was us pastors supposed to get to your house to help you do it right? Because the only way you're going to make it is if I'm standing in front of you. We couldn't do it. We shut the world down. So all of a sudden, what happened? Everybody said, wait a minute. I got to walk with God. I better listen to my pastor. And I had better get a relationship with Almighty God. Now, They opened the world back up. We've all gone back to work. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for more and to have more begins to come upon us. And all of that, that fearful thought of, oh my God, it might be today, has been placed farther and farther back on the burner. But it's not less important today. It's more important because we're closer. Russia is knocking on the door of Israel. Russia is getting ready to come in. So that is the next step of prophecy that will be fulfilled. That there's nothing else left. That is the next step. As soon as Russia takes a step toward Israel, God is going to take every one of you and I out of here that are born again and walking with him every day. He's not going to take everybody that goes to church out of here. He's going to take those who are walking with him every day. Let's keep reading. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. Now look at this. And I will be your father, and you will be my children. Now, God just said he's going to come and dwell on the inside of you. So what does that mean? He is going to lead you from the inside out. Go with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Of course, most of you could quote it. But let's just look at it with our eyes. Learn that it's when you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you how many messages you heard. He's going to ask you, did you know my word? That means you need to get your Bible and open it up and see it for what it is. Your eyes needs to get used to where Psalm 23 is on the page so that you know what's down in the left-hand corner. And I got it underlined. It's a couple things highlighted and circled. Why? Because you're there often. Thank God for your phone. It'll help you study. But this, it's where life comes from. Life comes up off these pages. Proverbs says, the word is life to those who, to all their flesh. So, Father just said he's going to live in us. It's interesting. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1. I shall not want. Say it every day. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. The sheep won't drink out of a fast flowing brook because they're afraid they'll get in, it'll soak into their wool, and they won't get out. 3, he restores my soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. Well, Pastor, how does he do that? As you read the word, produces life. While you're sleeping, make the prayer before you go to sleep. Thank you, Father. While I sleep, you are restoring my soul. Look at the next verse, the next part of the verse. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is leading you. I'm just going to read it. Even when you walk through the valley, any valley, this says the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, but it might be debt, fear no evil. It might be sickness, fear no evil. It doesn't matter what it is. you are with me. Your rod, the word, your staff, spiritual leaders, they comfort me. I love this verse 5. You prepare a table before me, right in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter what your enemies are doing. It doesn't matter what your haters are saying. It doesn't matter what people do that do not like you. God prepares a table for you to sit down and eat with them watching. You anoint my head with oil. What's that? The Holy Spirit. My cup, the goodness of life I'm drinking, it's running over. God pours until it's just splashing over on the table. That's how he likes it. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me, the hound dogs of heaven. Goodness and mercy all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go with me to 1 John 2. I'm not getting very many of the sin verses read, but it's okay. Walking in the path of Almighty God's leadership right now, because somebody needs to be reminded of these verses tonight. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2. And then 23 and 24 and 27. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. 20. 23 and 24 and 27. Say it again. 1 John 2, 1 and 2, 20, 23 and 24 and 27. The whole chapter is powerful, but I got to pick these verses out for tonight. My little children, these things I write to you. This is the Apostle John writing to the believers in a church where he had been, so that you may not sin. He said it. And if anyone sins, that means I'm expecting you not to, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it?
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit praying for us every day. Watch this. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Get this next step. It's not Jesus Christ blood only. It's Jesus Christ who is the righteous one, who gave you his righteousness. That's our advocate. We sin. We have an advocate. Verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for that sin. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. See, you and I should not be looking saying, I wonder what sin I'm going to commit today. No. We should be looking every day saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because Jesus made me into it. And today, I'm going to be an example of God's righteousness. But see, that's a different revelation than the only thing you got to do is get saved. No. John's saying, if you sin, he didn't say you're going to sin. He said, if you were to sin, there is an advocate with the Father, because Jesus is standing between you and the Father. And who, what is it about Jesus? It's his righteousness. He's going to present his righteousness to the Father for you and say, I have made them righteous, sir. And the Father will say, reconciled. It's not because of some kind of work you do to be holy. It's because Jesus was righteous and gave you his righteousness. Keep reading. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, why are you going to be able to know all things except the Holy One came to live within you? He's not out there in heaven coming down on your thick skull trying to get in. He lives in here. Drink a coffee. You don't know all things because you've studied every book of the Bible and you have 13 degrees. You know all things because he lives in you. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I'm going to show this to you. Thank you, Sunday. Amen and amen. 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. The biggest word in the whole Bible. Circle it. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father, and they'll abide in you. 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Verse 20. Abides in you in verse 27. But that's what we just saw in 1 Corinthians 6, that God said, I'm going to dwell in you and walk among you. Most certainly, every time I come here, I'm teaching you the word of God, most certainly. But your faith isn't in me. It's in the fact that this word begins to get down in your heart. The 119th Psalm. Thy word I have hid in my heart. A better way, another word you could use for hidden is, I have installed in my heart. I need all of the verses on righteousness right there in my heart. That's a good spot for it. Let's move them a little bit this way, a little bit that way. Squish them together, pack them back, and then I put another righteousness verse right there, and another righteousness. Wow, there's a lot of righteousness verses. Pack them all over there. And then here comes the praise verses. And what are you doing? You're going to set the praise verses right here, pack them like that, scoot them like that, one more on top. I think I can lay a couple up here. What are you doing? You are installing God's word into your heart, so that you would not sin against him. I believe that's verse 111. Nope. Hold on. 119. Verse 11, not 111. There it is. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I have hid in my heart. I've installed it. I've placed it. I've established his word in my heart. Well, the only way that's going to happen for you is you got to get this book open and begin to read it. I'm back in 1 John 2:27, which you received. Well, that's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing. abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. It's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Well then, Pastor, why do I got to have a pastor if they're there? It's the way he set it up. He wants us in groups and gatherings focused on a specific mission to go get the world and save the world. One of our assignments right here is to stand in the gap for the United States of America and for pastors and shepherds and spiritual leaders. Serious assignment he's given to us. Look at 27. It's teaching you and is true. It's not a lie. And just as it taught you, you will abide in him. Verse 29. If you know he, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. See, it didn't say everyone who walked the aisle shook the pastor's hand. Literally, I haven't done a study on the word practice, but it means who lives in righteousness daily is born of him. There's going to be a whole lot of people on the day of the rapture that's going to get a hello wake-up call they did not want to get. And this same Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus came to live in them the day they were born again. And preachers taught them that it wasn't important to build a relationship with God. Just make sure you come to church and pay your tithe. That's all that's important. I'll do the teaching. You do the listening. And let's build a big building. No, 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 and no. You are going to give an account on that day of how you studied this word to get it installed in your heart. Now, I love this about God. Come on, Rebecca. Tried to cast a demon out from someone today. Come on. Jesus said, these signs follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Amen. How about a big amen, Roger?
The great amen. Love the majestic word of God.
That's awesome. Now watch. I got to finish in verse 29 here. 1 John 2:29. In the New King James, it starts with the word if. Now watch this. If you know he's righteous. Well, I do know he's righteous. So I'm changing the word if to since. If is for a person who's just learning. You and I have already learned. So change the ifs to since. Since I know he is righteous, I know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now, let's go to 1 John 5, and let's read 14 through 21. This is a really good teaching tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, it's not what is on my notes. I got 100 verses in there, but it's not what's on my notes. Man, this is just like old days. Rebecca and Angel are both putting verses in. Glory be to God. Thank you. Love it. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. Now, confidence comes from relationship. I did this morning, and I'm going to do it again right now. So everybody watch this. I'm going to share my screen, and I want you to see this. This is my... I got to get that moved. I don't know why it's doing that. Anyways, watch this. This is my Bible app. This is eSword. If you have an Apple, you can have this. Now, see my mouse? The part that's blue is the Bible. I'm in 1 John chapter 5. I'm in the New King James Version. Excuse me. Watch this. I'm going to change the translation to the KJV Plus. Watch. And let's go down here to verse 14. Click on it once. You'll notice it highlights it. And I'm going to go over here to the word confidence. This is the confidence. We did this morning, but I'm going to do it again so that everybody that watches this can see it. This is the word confidence. If you click on that number, it brings up the Strong's Concordance, which is a definition, and the Thayer's. I set my computer up to do both of them. But if you have eSword on your phone and on your computer, you'll automatically have the Strong's Concordance. Now, this is the word confidence, parousia. You can see it right there. It's pronounced parousia, all right? What does the word confidence mean? Spokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity, assurance, confidence. Well, that lets you know this is the frank, blunt, public assurance that I have in God. Let's go down to Thayer's. Freedom in speaking, unreserved in speech, openly, frankly, without concealment, without ambiguity or circumlocution. Somebody study the word circumlocution. That word confidence means you know this so much that you can be openly, publicly, bold about who God is in you. Look at verse 14. Now I'm going to switch this. Now watch how I do this. I'm going to go back up here to the King James Version. And this little sidebar right here, click on it. And then I'm going to scroll back down here to the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, let's read this. Uh-oh, what happened there? There it is. Still missing part of you. Huh. Hold on. It's just an app. I got so much app, it's getting the best of me. E-sword, yeah. E-sword. Yes, thank you, Sunday. You even put it in like it needs to be. E-sword.net. And if it's your, if you don't have an iPhone, then it's My Sword for Android. Now, let's read the verse. 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Well, what are we talking? Means the use of fewer words in an attempt to be vague or evasive. Okay? And that said, without circum locution. Woo! That feels like a Shakespeare word, you know? I'm back in the Bible now. Thank you, Angel, for that. Verse 15, we know, take the gift. And since we know he hears us, why do we know it? He lives in here. He not only hears us, he is directing us from within to pray the prayer. That's why you got to be a steward of what God says to you. Thank you for paying attention to what he says to me and to us as a body. But we've all got to be a steward of what he says to us. Why? Because he's going to ask you what he said to you. And he's going to expect you to know what he said to you. And he wants you to grow and develop in what I'm speaking as a leader and how that's working into your life and your family. That's why you got to have a notebook. I got one. I got two. And I got two more out there. So that I got a notebook while I'm talking, while I'm living, to write in the words that God has given us. Let's keep reading. I'm so far. Jesus, help me. We know that we have the petition that we've asked of him. Why? He led us to pray the prayer from in here. 7:16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death. He's talking about our brothers in Christ. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And John said, if we sin. He didn't say you're going to sin every day. He said, if you sin. Verse 18. Whoever is born of God does not sin. I don't know how preachers have thought they got away with saying you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. Because that verse very boldly says, whoever is born of God does not sin. He who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one doesn't touch him. Do you notice that it doesn't say he who has decided by a very strong decision to do righteously and to make himself righteous will not sin? No, because your works won't work. Paul had the greatest of works. He was a Pharisee to the degree of killing Christians in the name of God. And it did nothing. He counted all of those acts as rubbish that I might gain Christ. And what did he say? Let's see. I better finish this and then we'll go see what he says. Whosoever is born of God does not sin, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Look at this. It's underlined, a circle of something. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Not only is he in us, we're in him. His righteousness is what gives us boldness and confidence. Do you realize? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Let's just look at what Paul said. Now, let's look at what the Holy Spirit said through Paul, because Paul's just a vessel. This isn't because of Paul's great wisdom. Paul is writing as he is led by the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 3, and that's verse number 3 through verse number 17. 18. 3 through 21. Philippians 3. Yeah. Good job, Angel. Now, in the beginning, Paul talks about his works. Verse 7. But the things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So, the only thing that he was counting as a benefit was that he was growing and developing in God. That's not about how holy you can be. Your acts of righteousness in your own strength, trying to become righteous, will never do it. Receiving Jesus' righteousness into your life is perfect righteousness, and they will always be enough power to be righteous, and you won't even want to sin. You'll be so far from sin, like, no. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. I'm going to tell you, when I awoke to the reality of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that I was made into, there has never been another day that was ever a desire. There was never anything. You sin, show up. You're like, no, boldly. Why? Because God helped me to wake up about righteousness. Get the revelation in here, because I put these words in my eyes and I put them on the shelf. This is righteousness. No, this is the righteousness of God. This is what the Bible says. I don't care what that preacher says and that one and that one. I opened up my Bible. I found the verse on righteousness. And that's, there, that one goes there. I'm gonna grab that verse. I can stick it right there. Look how smooth it made the side of that stack right there. Woo! I like it. Push it back a little bit. And I got me a good stack of righteousness verses. And then what's God do? He shows you another one. Then you stack that alongside of it, and then he puts one there, stacks three up this way, and brings another one out, and puts one down, brings you a big old block of righteousness, and you establish it into your heart. The psalmist, according to New King James, said, thy word have I hid, I have I've located, I've fastened, I've established it. I'm installing it into my life. Keep reading. Verse 9, look at what this says. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, my efforts to be good, but that righteousness, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God by faith. You receive Jesus, his blood, it purges your sin. You receive his righteousness. It's automatically in your life. And now the blood purged the sin and the righteousness filled you up with his righteous ways. Paul said, I'm not going to be found with my own righteousness. He lived a whole life in his own righteousness. And he said, not doing it. Read it again. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. In other words, a list of do's and don'ts. But that which is through faith, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him. Well, God made it easy for you to know him because God put himself right in here. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are getting this established deep in our hearts. And it is revolutionizing you and who you are and what you're doing and what you know in Jesus' mighty name. Look at here.
We're home. We're
excuse me, but I get hugged on the camera in front of everybody, so y'all got to watch. I like hugs.
Love you guys.
Wait. I like hugs. I'm a hugger, but anyways.
You are a hugger.
Would you warm my coffee up, Will?
I will.
Please. Thank you. Watch this. That I might know him. God said, Paul said, that I might know him. Well, who's him? Him who lives in here. Lives in here. Wow. Jesus. Here we go. Well, it's the plan here. This is the plan for tonight, so hang on because we're not done yet. I don't know. I am excited. I am blessed by every one of you who are here tonight that you are getting this revelation tonight. You might already have it. If you do, you're jumping and shouting. But if you're just getting it, jump and shout. Brother Roger, give us a big amen.
A great amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Now watch this. John 17, verse 20. Now I'm going to paint this picture a little bit because this matches the teaching tonight that you will have his righteousness because he lives within you. He dwells in you. I know somebody that said, well, I've known a lot of people that thought this way, that when they sin as a Christian, as a believer, John 17, 20 through 26, that God leaves and then comes back when you're done sinning. No. Like it reads in Hebrews, you drag the Son of God through your sin. You insult the Spirit of grace while you sin. You tread upon Jesus when you sin as a believer. John said, if you were to sin, if, not when, if. Now, John 17 is the last thing that happens on the night of the Passover, the last Passover that Jesus took with the disciples. And this is the last thing Jesus said before they went out. John chapter 16 is Jesus talking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. John 17 is Jesus' prayer. If you haven't read it lately, I encourage you to read it. But verses 20 through 26, Jesus is praying for you and I, literally for us in this day. Now watch what he says. I do not pray for these alone, the disciples in the room, but also for those who will believe in me, Jesus, through their word. You and I are reading the book of John, so Jesus is praying for you because we're believing in him through John's word. You just found yourself in the Bible on John chapter 17, verse 20. That's you, and that's me. And Jesus, isn't that wonderful? Was praying for you and for me on the night of that last supper. 2,000 years before you was even born. Verse 21. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me. Jesus said, I'm one with the Father, and the Father is one with me. And I in you, that's Jesus. Jesus in the Father. That they also may be one with us. That the world may believe. 90 seconds late. That you, Father, sent me, Jesus, to this earth, and I did my work. When you and I become one with the Father, the world will see that God Almighty is on the inside of you. They may not receive him from you, but they'll see him. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? If they receive you, they receive me. If they don't receive you, they don't receive me. Or the one who sent me, yeah, that's what he said. See what that means? That means there's some folks in your life, in the world, that God sent you to them so that they would see Jesus. My goodness sakes alive, don't sin with them. Be the righteous standard of God and show them that righteousness. Don't gossip, don't talebear, don't backbite, don't do any sin. Be the righteous example so they look at you and say, how in the world can you be this righteous? I've had many people say, how can you be righteous like this? Well, I can't. But Jesus' righteousness that he put in me, and he's inside with it, that makes me righteous. People say, well, Pastor, I could just never understand the word of God. Well, yes, you can. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The one that wrote this book lives on the inside of you. People have wondered for years why preachers get all fired up and excited and shout and jump and dance. There's a lot of it that happens. It's just worked up emotions, but this isn't. God lives in you. If that don't make you excited, something's wrong with you. Say it. God lives inside of me, and I love it. Hold on. I got to have a drink. I love verse 21 so much, I'm reading it again. That they all may be one, that's you and me, may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That the world may believe that you sent me to them. 22. And look at this. And the glory which you, Father, gave me, Jesus, I have given to them. Do you realize Jesus gave you the glory the Father gave him? It's right there. Ready? Put your hands out and say, well, then I receive it.
Then I receive
it. No, wait.
Amen, Sunday.
See, this doesn't motivate you to be, you've got to get something fixed in your life. Well, you got to get the revelation. That's all it is. It's just revelation. God caused Jesus to pray this prayer. Jesus is praying verse 22 by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you can tell that on that night, he said to the disciples, now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray John chapter 17, verse 20 now. Are you guys ready? He didn't say that. That's just what man did so that we can find these verses. Don't worship the verse, but sure be thankful for it. Verse 22. And the glory which you, Father, gave Jesus, Jesus gave to you and me. And why did he do it? That we may be one with him, just as Jesus and the Father are one.
One of those things that you just need that quiet time to just ponder forever.
Sheila.
Yeah.
I've seen preachers at time preaching and they make a statement, then they just stand there and they look at you. Well, they ain't looking at you. God Almighty is saying 87,000 things on the inside of them at the same time because they're ministering to you. Well, how do you know, Pastor? Because that's what goes on with me. I just saw enough from the Word of God to preach for another 4 hours.
man.
Good to hear your voice, Roger.
Same with you.
So funny.
You sound better, Pastor.
Well, my wife walked in, so you know what happened.
Oh, you do? Your voice is sounding better.
When you become one, and then it's better when you're one. And that's what Jesus just said.
Amen.
See, I don't think, guys.
You do too much.
That's good. Most believers don't even realize this. These verses are even in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have any idea.
No.
But this is what I know about God. He will lead you to these verses. It's a long time ago in my life, God led me here. If you go back and see my different Bibles that I've had, these verses will be underlined. But what happened is the parable of the sower. The revelation hit. I received it. I'm like, wow, yes. And then I went back to my daily life. And the cares of the world that everybody has, that's not a sin. It's a care. The deceitfulness of riches. Riches isn't a sin. The deceitfulness of it is. And then the desire for other things start to choke that word. And that's why you and I got to be good stewards and study and focus and write notes and make confessions and speak this word to get it installed down inside of our heart. Today, I made another batch of relish.
Two, actually, didn't you?
Well, yeah, two batches today. Two and a half, actually, to tell you, the complete truth. But I had to make room on the shelf in the laundry room. So what did I have to do? I had to say, well, that goes better up there, and that's better over here, and I can take that out and put it in the garage, above the garage. It'll be safe out there, and I can do that there, and I just don't think we need that anymore, and threw it away. I actually threw something away.
Did?
I did.
Did you take a picture? Not that Pastor's a hoarder or anything.
I am not a hoarder at all. But watch.
He's a keeper of treasure. He called it. Sorry, go ahead.
One man's trash is another man's gold.
Yes, there you go, brother.
Wait. Say it again, Brother Roger. The great wisdom is coming from you.
One man's trash is another man's gold.
Well, you know, it's like every time I use up one of those coffee jugs.
Yes, everyone needs 50 Folgers coffee cans.
Now, be careful how you say that, you know. I do have feelings. Mm-hmm. Anyways, see, that's what this program does every day. That's what this program does every day. It causes you to look down inside of your heart. That's what the psalmist said. Thy word I have hid in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Well, in David's day, well, David wasn't the writer of the 119th Psalm. And I'm forgetting who it was. You remember? It was one of the prophets. Who was it? Somebody find out. I'm going to find out. Well, what the psalmist is saying is, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. So the more of God's word that we install in our hearts and we clean the junk out and we throw away the stuff that doesn't need to be in there anymore. I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to realize you put a whole bunch of junk in your life. before this day. You didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. But I'm going to tell you, when I was a teenager and a young 20-year-old, I listened to a whole lot of secular music. And why? Every young person loves music. They love a good beat. They love a good drum. You like to bob your head. You like to be grooving and moving. Everybody, it's normal. It's not a sin. But what makes it a sin is when you put stupid words in and stupid music in. There's nothing wrong with country western. There's nothing wrong with rock and roll. There's nothing wrong with rap. There's nothing wrong with classical music. There's nothing wrong with southern gospel. There's nothing wrong with blues or jazz. Unless, of course, the words they put with it causes you to go to bed with the wrong woman, do the wrong thing. You ready? Which most of it does. If you think about our worship we do every day, I, by the Holy Spirit's leadership, have put something from every genre of music into that playlist. Why? To show that Southern gospel is just a style of music. What those words say is whether it'll be a blessing or it'll be a curse.
Yeah.
Even if it's gospel music. I was looking for songs one day to add to our playlist. I haven't lost my place from John 17. I'm talking about what you and I are putting in our heart. Watch this. I'm looking for songs one day to add to the playlist because I want it to be well-rounded. I think my favorite singer of all time is Sinatra. The lady has an anointing like so few others. And then I'll play David Binion, and then I'm like, wow. All right, they're side by side. And then I play William. What's his name? McDowell. And I'm like, wow, okay, all three of them are kind of alongside of each other. You know, then I hear Russ Taft singing. I'm like, okay, stop trying to make somebody better than anybody else. But here's the revelation, guys. I pulled up this playlist that said something to the effect of wonderful gospel music. And it had a bunch of hymns and stuff. It also had the song in it about the wonderful dreams I had while I'm laying in bed beside my wife, remembering the wonderful night I had with you. And this is in that playlist. Wonderful gospel songs. Well, that ain't a wonderful gospel song. And if you sing that song enough, you'll do that act while you're laying in bed next to your wife or your husband. Why? Because music opens up your soul and your spirit, and then the words that's behind it is installed down deep inside your heart. That's why you hear me say, tear in your beer, Christian songs. Because there's a whole bunch of them that don't glorify God. There's hymns in your hymnal that don't glorify God because they're not biblically accurate. They are doctrinally destructive. Now, this is one of those things where people start throwing things at me. So, I was fair to everybody. I like rap. I like hard rock and roll. Mylon LeFevre was a hard rock and roller. I like it. I love it. DC Talk, man. Them were some of my boys. I love them. And this guy, you don't know his name. He's one of those screamo guys. Goodness sakes alive, he's getting 700-800 people every concert, born again. Well, that music don't make any sense to me, but it makes sense to them. And he's getting 800 people born again every time he plays. Some's right. You might not like black gospel music, but it don't matter. If it's holy, it's going to minister to somebody. And it's all right. So I'm not against anything. I'm teaching you. You've been made one with God. That righteousness inside of you, Jesus' righteousness, is leading you every single day. And some people are saying, well, that doesn't matter. Well, this doesn't matter. That one preacher said that, don't worry, I'm still going to sin every day. And the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is on the inside saying, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. The righteousness of God and the Holy Spirit saying, why are you doing this? Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be on that website. Stop going there on Facebook and YouTube. Why? Because that righteousness is leading you from in here, because you were made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We just read it. Sin will not have dominion over you. Why? You've been made righteous. I have to finish reading. I'm in 1 John 17:22. Ready? And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Say it. I received the glory from Jesus.
I received the glory.
It's the glory that the Father gave Jesus.
It's the glory that the Father gave Jesus.
I know a bunch of people that just said, I rebuke you right now, preacher, given Jesus, given his glory to you. He didn't give me his authority to sit on the throne beside the Father. He gave me the glory that the Father gave him so that he could walk on this earth and live righteous. And Jesus gave that to us. I have given them that they may be one as we are. You, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. 23. I in them, you, Father, in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So let's go back and grab Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And the Father gave Jesus his glory so he could be perfect, so he could be righteous. And Jesus accepted it, and Jesus was righteous. And you and I get to accept Jesus' righteousness and the glory that the Father gave him, and we get to be made perfect in one. That's why Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Because he knew he was going to give you his glory, and that glory was going to make you perfect in his righteousness that he was going to install in you, and you don't have to do it in your own strength. His righteousness is living in you. Preacher after preacher have said, it is impossible for you to be perfect. You've got to read the Bible. Jesus just showed you how you can be perfect. Because the Father gave him righteousness and glory, and he gave you that glory and his righteousness so that you can be perfect.
And if he said it, we receive it.
I feel like Brother Leroy Thompson. Oh, you want to start that argument with me? Well, it's okay. I got more verses than just that. So, you know, I'm not going to go long. Let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at what you and I say every day. Don't worry. This conversation isn't for the folks. It's our normals. There's somebody out there that wants to argue with me. Watch this. Ephesians 4. Watch this. I'm going down to verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. because that's where we're all supposed to get, to the knowledge of the Son of God, which we were just reading in John 17. Look at what it says. To a perfect man. I just read it to you in John 17. I just read it to you in Matthew chapter 5, 48. And I'm reading it to you right here, right now. That we can be a perfect man. Look what it says. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, how can you do that? Because he gave you that fullness by his glory and his righteousness. And then he lives in here so he can lead you into the paths of righteousness from the inside out. I need somebody who likes to type, to type this message and help me write a book, a little one, just from this message. This is a powerful word tonight. Well, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. That's what teachers are teaching you and preachers are preaching you when they say you can sin, you will sin every day in word, thought, and deed. They're teaching you doctrine, but it doesn't come from this book. It comes from a deceiving spirit. I know some of you are like, uh-oh, I got to stop listening to that guy. Yes, you do. Probably not a bad guy, but I'm going to tell you. If you listen to erroneous teaching, you will go into error. 15, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. He came and lived within us. Now we're growing up into him. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. Angel, thank you. Sunday, Rebecca, all of you guys that are here. It's the truth. Let's end. Let's end with one more set of perfect verses. This will be our final verses. Ephesians chapter 3. And this is Paul praying for the Ephesians, but we'll accept it for us too. 16 through 21. Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. Isn't it amazing how the anointing flowing through me makes my voice get stronger and stronger? 16. That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory. He gave it to you. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man and inside of you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all of the saints. Well, why do you get to comprehend it? Not because you study every page of this book and you have a perfect A plus on every test I give you. Are you kidding me? There's not enough time left on this earth for everybody to study everything in this book before they say they can understand God. No, you get in the kingdom. He gives you his blood. It washes away your sin. He gives you his righteousness, and it fills your whole life. Then he, Son, and blessed Holy Spirit come and live inside. And all of that glory lives in you. That 18, that you will be able to understand with all the saints what is the length and the width and the depth, and the height. Why? He's in here. So that you would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Look at what it says. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, what's his fullness? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in you, and his word is being established in your life, and you're hiding it in there, and you're becoming a beacon city set on a hill, cannot be hid. To know the love of Christ, 19, which passes the knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, who God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Why? According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in this church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we receive all of the fullness of God. We receive all of the fullness of God. Just lift your hands and close your eyes and see yourself receiving all of the righteousness of Jesus. Just saying, Jesus, I receive all of your righteousness. Fill every part of my life. I receive you leading me from the inside. I love to walk with you, God my Father, Jesus my Savior, and Holy Spirit my power every single day. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. I am instructed to end differently. He's been telling me to read this verse here for a little bit, and I keep forgetting. You got to read this verse. And then we'll do communion. This is Hebrews chapter 10. And this is verse 19 through 31. Hebrews 10, 19 through 31. I'm not reading all of those verses. That's just the reference. I want you to put the whole reference in there so that anybody who sees these will know to read the whole reference. But I'm going to go to verse 29. How much worse punishment do you suppose will a man be thought worthy of who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's what happens when we sin after we've received Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nobody be condemned. God's got to take you from where you are to get you here. He's not freaked out about where you are. He does have a specific plan. And I will never be one of those preachers that say, it's no big deal if you sin. You're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. Oh, no, it's a very big deal when you sin, because this is what happens. What you and I must learn is, hold it. If that's what happens when I sin, I better get the revelation of Jesus' blood and his righteousness so that verse 29 never happens in my life, a single day of my life. And it's so simple. But it only comes by revelation, not by intellectualism. It's not by a list of do's and don'ts. It's not because you've memorized a chapter, even chapter 10. It's because you got the revelation of what God is saying in chapter 10. And that is, in the last days, you and I are going to have to get together all the more and stir one another up for good works and remind each other that God Almighty lives within us. And he's going to empower us from the day of our born-againness all the days of our life. He has already come to live within you. And now, let's receive communion together. The way we receive communion here is we read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we read that, and then we pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication. And then after that, we give you about 2 minutes of instruction. And then from there, we receive the communion elements. So right now, get you some grape juice and bread, or bread and water, something, and we'll receive communion together. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, verse 25, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work. You don't want to just say, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died. He did. But the power of Jesus' death is he rose again. He defeated hell while he was there. Watch this. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Many churches have said, if you've sinned, don't come when communion is being served. You'll drink damnation. That is exactly opposite of the word of God. If you've sinned, come to the church or go where there's communion. Pray, examine yourself, pray, repent, and receive these elements. You need the elements if you sin. You need his broken body and his blood shed. When Jesus' body was broken, it gave access for the righteousness to come out and get all over us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I want you to read your Bible right now. 1 John 4, 17. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there's no fear in love. Do you know what that looks like? I heard somebody say this yesterday. Pat Harrison is doing a women's conference right now at Nancy Dufresne's. And Pat Harrison is Dr. Higgins' daughter. And Nancy Dufresne is an interesting women's conference. It's for women, but if you men want to come, sit in the back, you'll be all right. Oh, I don't even know if they sit in the back. They might not even sit in the back. But it's a women's conference, so we're going to talk about women's stuff. Anyways, she said, got a cancer report. And she was studying that verse, verse 17. And she came home from the doctor, and the doctor said, he's going to have to do surgery and all that. And she said, I'm not going to have surgery, and, you know, and then she's using her faith. So she said, I said, Jesus, do you have cancer on your tongue? He said, no, I don't, Pat. She said, well, neither do I, because as he is, so am I in this world. I don't have cancer on my tongue. Wait, ready? Jesus, do you have sin in your body? And you know what he has to say? Sadly enough, I do. But I sure don't want it there. Why? Because it belongs to the body of Christ that sin every day in word, thought, and deed. I'm preaching right during communion when I'm just supposed to be reading. Jesus doesn't have any sin, and neither should his body.
Amen.
The prayer of salvation and rededication. Pray this with me. Everybody pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you for it.
Jesus, this is your point to make your bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of you.
With all of you, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly life.
Pray in my heavenly life.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Just like that, everything that I just taught you by the Holy Spirit just came into place right there on the spot. You are now born again. You received all of Jesus' love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. And you said, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We know to lead you in that prayer so that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, God Almighty lives within you, and he's going to lead you from the inside every day. I've been telling people this, and I like it. When you wake up in the morning, teach yourself and your eyes open to say, Father, help me walk with you today. Remember, he's in here. And he's going to say, nah, sorry about your luck, but see if you can make it on your own today. He's never going to say that. Never once. And any time you've heard that, you heard the wrong voice, because that's not him. Stop at lunch. Pray over your food. Talk to him about your day. Pray over your food at supper. Lead your family into talking to God. When you lay down in your bed at night, you look up and you say, thank you for being with me today. How? Ask the question. How did I do today? And from within here, he will begin to speak to you. And then you will know the voice of God. If he tells you you needed, why? If he asks you, why'd you do that? Immediately just say it. You're right. I repent. I receive your blood, Jesus. I'll never do that again. If you've got to fix something, then fix it. See, that's what righteousness does. And the whole time you're righteous, and Jesus will, God will show you, and you'll be like, whoa, I'll never do that again. You're still righteous. The light came. That light opens you up to that much more light. Why? Because you got something dark out of the way that's trying to get on your being that God filled with light. You do not have any darkness left in you. Amen. It's out here trying to get in here by you speaking it with your words. Pastor, how will I ever be come like you? You don't need to be. The only thing you need to do like me is to chase God 24/7, 365. And I don't know it all, but you can ask Sister Leanne. I chase God hard every day of my life. Every day. We do. We are determined. It has no sin. So wonderful to be able to say that. There's no sin in there. Anywhere. Zero. Glory, hallelujah. And he'll help you get there too. Why? Because he lives inside of you. Not because he's beating you with a stick and finally you'll get it through your thick skull. No, he's in here. He went past your skull 5 minutes ago when you prayed that prayer. You said come in, he's on his side. You ready? Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you're notified every time we go live, and we will help you walk with our God in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Mm-hmm. Let's receive the blood in his broken body. I love this because Jesus took all of the Passover feast that took days to get ready, and he put it right here. And all you and I have to do is receive it, and we receive all of the power of that Passover feast right here in the next 5 minutes. Wow. Ready? Pray with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my
emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplied.
Nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
Which reaches all the way to Julian and Bamala.
Make an offense.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. But you endured the cross, despising the shame, you called it all joy. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
Because he's my Father.
Because he's my Father.
And he wants me there.
And he wants me there.
And I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
And I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
Not another day.
Not another day.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Because Jesus' robe is righteousness.
Because Jesus' robe is righteousness.
And I wear it every day.
And I wear it every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why I keep singing this song. I didn't sing earlier, but I'm going to sing now. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Are you doing the closing verses, love? Since Sister Phyllis is not here.
Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Jude, verses 20. We've made these our closing verses. And I love it because of the power that's in it. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Yeah. And amen. Want you to see something? Verse number 22 and 23, it's talking about believers. Because when it says, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh, that's the robe of righteousness. Cat hair.
Oh.
That's the robe of righteousness. It was defiled because somebody did not live in the righteousness of God. Jesus said, or the Holy Spirit said, pulling them out of the fire. Why? They're getting ready to be burned. Why? Somebody told them they can sin every day in word, thought, and deed, and it's no big deal, and it is a big deal. That's why I'm so passionate about this. Well, one more thing to do. Ready? Hold your hands up. Say this, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I saw my time, talent, and treasure.
I saw my time, talent, and treasure.
Into the kingdom of God right here.
Into the kingdom of God.
So that every person within the sound of our voice.
So that every person within the sound of our voice.
Will know you.
Will know you.
I receive the hundredfold return.
I receive the hundredfold return.
That you have for me.
That you have for
and
me.
And for this ministry.
For this
so that we can preach the gospel.
So that we can preach the gospel.
Right here and around the world.
Right here and around the world.
Wherever you send
wherever
us.
Wherever you send us.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Well, that's it for tonight. We will be back with you again tomorrow night, sooner or later here. I believe I'm going to read all the verses on sin and then all the verses on righteousness. Tonight. We were led by the Holy Spirit to lead you down this path. And this was a good night. Share this with your friends and family. Help them understand the righteousness of God. We'll be live in a few minutes with Read the Word for tomorrow. And then we'll be live tomorrow morning for prayer. 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.